Hello, all, and welcome in to another WSOU podcast. We're starting them back up after a long break, and we're starting it with Bulls on Parade. I'm your host today, Spencer Gonzalez, joined by my analysts, Lauren Reese and Joey Nardone. Guys, the Red Bull season starting up yet again. Media day just happened. Bulls are going to be playing Nashville come this weekend. It's a start of a new season, and there's a lot of excitement. Lauren, let's start with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. This is my first time being on a WSOU podcast, so it's great to be talking about the future of a team that has a lot of potential to keep going in the MLS.
Yeah, and then there's me, Joey, who I've been on every single Bulls on Parade so far, so this is not new territory for me. This is really a telling tale, a story of Lauren's first episode in my, probably, I don't know, 10th, 12th.
Yeah,
you've something been around on there. I've been on all of them so far, though, which is a fun little tidbit.
A seasoned veteran and a new rookie here on Bulls on Parade. And then there's me. I've been on a couple.
You've been on a bunch, Spence.
I've been on a few. It was fun during the summer and then starting up. And then the Bulls made that push into the playoffs. We'll be talking about that a little later on. But let's talk about, Joey, you and I were just there. We went to Red Bulls Media Day. We got to talk with players, new coach Sandro Schwarz. Great interview. Seems like a really great guy. And the players are just ramping up. Joey, what were your impressions from Media Day? How did you feel in that building?
Yeah, it was really cool. Also, if you just want to talk about the character of Sandro Schwarz, he was a really nice guy. It was the time Zach, the communications director, was like, all right, time for one more question. And Schwarz was like, oh, ask a bunch more. Like, I got nowhere to be. Which is kind of funny because Zach is like, ah, we have somewhere to be, though. But, yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting and interesting start of this season for the New York Red Bulls. They just brought in Emil Forsberg and named him the captain not that long ago, with Sean Nealis and Carlos Coronel as the vice captains. And Sandro Schwarz going to be an interesting, different new coach. Again, we see another new coach in such a short period of time. Of course, Troy Lesen was the interim head coach last year that took the Red Bulls to that playoff push, but they did not re-sign him or sign him again after that interim position, and now Sandro Schwarz is here. And I think he's going to bring an interesting style of soccer, and especially with Emil Forsberg coming in too. He's so creative in that final third. Schwarz really highlighted the final pass in his interview when talking about Forsberg, and I think that's what we're really going to see from the seasoned veteran, from the pro. They're all professionals, of course, but Emil Forsberg, many years at Red Bull Salzburg, has Champions League-level quality, which many Red Bulls players just, you can't say that for MLS players. They don't have Champions League-level quality, and that is Emil Forsberg. He's going to come in there and definitely going to shake things up. You're going to see that offense, hopefully, you're going to see that offense be kicking a bit more than you did last season.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was weird because you had the interim coach last year after the other coach got fired in the middle of the year. You know, you had a jumble of coaches for this team. And then comes Schwarz, and he's a cool guy. He really resonated well with the media. It seemed like people around the locker room liked him. We talked to a couple players. We asked about how it was turning that page, getting into a new system, and they all seemed really hyped. They seemed excited. They seemed ready to go and ready to get to a new brand of Red Bulls soccer. And so that was really cool to feel in the building. It's the start of something new. You have a new captain, right? You have a new everything, it seems. And you got young players on this team, so it's a really cool feel for everybody in the Red Bulls organization. And talking about last year, the offense wasn't great, and you lose your top scorer in Fernandez. So, you know, there's going to be holes to fill for this Red Bull squad, and it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, so really, you shouldn't have been seeing Omir Fernandez be your top goal scorer, though. I think that's the main thing. You have players like Van Zier. Of course, he's out a lot with injury and, of course, suspension. And you had players like Manuel stepping up. But really, your top goal scorer should not have been Omir Fernandez. Yeah. As much as I love Fernandez, I was sad to see him go. He's a great player, and I love seeing him and watching him play. He just, you know, you're expecting players like Van Zier or Manuel or now Forsberg to be leading your team. And, Lauren, we're going to take it to you quick. I just want to say Van Zier said it very interestingly. We got a chance to talk to him briefly at Media Day. Oh. And he said that he is really now feels like a New York Red Bull.
Yeah.
He wasn't fully in it last year because he came in, he didn't have a preseason with the team, and he started off and he got suspended, and then he was hurt a bunch with some minor injuries, and at the end of the season he had a pretty major injury. So he had this off season to take some time away and then get really rested and get readied up and have a full preseason, get to know the guys, get to know the team, get to know the new coach. Nothing's new. He's actually the guy that's there. He's not the new guy, and I think you're going to really see him step up. But, Lauren, how do you think that's going to play out?
Well, I think you got the forward, you got that height, you have that establishment of that player who can come in and start being aggressive and getting the goals and getting everything like that. But something that the Red Bulls, I feel like, should focus on more is what they're lacking is in possession. I feel a lot of their plays have been long balls across the field, and then those kind of plays only get you so far, if you all have seen mm-hmm. that before. So I think if you have a forward with the ability to dribble it up, who feels connected with the team and can trust that he'll get the passes and trust that he can, and the team can trust him back, that he can work up the field, I think it'll be really beneficial. They're looking for that person who's going to be the person to go to for goals, who's going to establish himself. I think with a new season about to go underway, and that, yes, he did a lot of inactive time last season, maybe this is a time for him to step up and show who he really is as a player.
Definitely, I agree.
Yeah, I like I'm saying, new beginnings, you know, new pages being turned, and players are going to be expected to really step up and fill those roles, and Van Zier is definitely one of them. But looking back to last season, because let's get a nice little recap, because last season was kind of wacky. I mean, the Red Bulls started off really, really slow. They weren't able to get their traction. That led to the firing of the past coach, of course, and into the interim coach. And so you have all those changes, and yet the Red Bulls scrapped their way into a playoff spot. They finished eighth in the Eastern Conference, 11, 10, and 13 with 43 points on the table. So the Red Bulls were able to sneak in, and then they were able to get a couple of really good games in the postseason. I mean, aside from that really, really tough loss to Cincinnati in penalty kicks, I mean, they showed a lot of what they could do in the playoffs. They showed that they're a team that can go out and win a couple of games and challenge some of the better squads in the MLS, in the Eastern Conference. So, Lauren, let's go to you first. What are your impressions from the end of last season, and how do you think that helped the Red Bulls kind of with momentum coming into this one?
You know, you mentioned it, that final with penalties with Cincinnati, a team that they played like three times in the last 2 months of the season. I know that they lost the first matchup and they won the second one, but in that third one, FC Cincinnati won 8-7 on penalties. I mean, I don't see it as anything else but momentum and as fuel to just keep pushing forward. And again, they did not have a very good start to the beginning of their season, only winning 3, I think, of their first 10-ish, give or take. I might be wrong. Apologies about that. But it was not the start they're looking for. I know in Media Day they were saying they want to start off on the right foot. And if you go off the momentum you had at the end of the last year, it's a good sign, you know. Tying and ultimately losing, unfortunately, to FC Cincinnati wasn't obviously what you're looking for, but FC Cincinnati established themselves really well last season. And of course, it's disappointing to lose in penalties, but you got to take that momentum and the win you did have against them and use that to keep going forward.
Absolutely. I think it really showed. I mean, the coach, Sandra Schwartz, said he doesn't want to compare anything to last season.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important for this team. Yes, they did have a good finish to the end of the season under Troy Lesen, and I was honestly kind of surprised when they didn't bring Lesen back in because of how good they looked at the end. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Cincinnati, they were in first place the entire season. They were dominating the Eastern and Western Conference just on top, them battling out with Orlando at the end, but Cincinnati was the number one team in this league for almost the entire season. And to go in and bring them, force them to penalties, 8-7 in penalties, is just, it's something you can't be ashamed of. It's something you have to be proud of. And it's really interesting now you're really seeing new beginnings, because you have players that were there last year who gained this experience, younger guys, We'll talk to him more when I talk about my players that I want to look out for with Edelman and Stroud. But really, I want to talk about Sean Nealis, the former captain. Now, who's now vice captain. You might think it might be a little awkward in that locker room. Emil Forsberg comes in, the big man from Sweden. They bring him in from Germany, and he gets the captaincy right away. And Nealis talking about it at Media Day, he was very mature, of course. I'm not surprised because he is a seasoned player. But he understood that Emil Forsberg deserves it. Mm-hmm. And something that Nealis said was it really stuck with me. He said that, you know, Emil Forsberg is the type of player that deserves to be the captain of this team. And he wasn't saying that he didn't deserve to be the captain of the team, but he was saying it in a way of respect towards Emil Forsberg. And it was really cool to see him talk about them because he said he really shows it in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And Nealis, I'm sure, was great in the locker room. I'm sure he on the field, you can tell he was a captain on that field. I mean, he was a monster in the back. And I still think he's going to be a monster in the back, and he's still going to show that quality, except now you have, you know, one of the an amazing player. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to bring that down. That's what's so interesting about the MLS. And also what's interesting about the MLS is that the New York Red Bulls were out of the playoffs for every single week of the season except for the last day, where they finally squeezed in above the line. And so that's something that you have to really circle on your calendar. You don't want to be biting your nails all the way down to the end again. Because 0 days above the playoff line, except for the last day of the season, is hard to swallow, hard to accept, hard to go into the season wanting to do that again.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why I think you're going to see a different mindset for sure. But again, that's why players were so talking so much about getting off on the right foot. Van Zier talked about it. Nealis talked about it. Edelman talked about it. John Tolkien talked about it. The coach talked about it. Everyone was talking about getting off on the right foot, and I think you're really going to see an intentional effort by the Red Bulls. Not that nobody wants to start off on a bad foot.
Right.
Like, it's pretty obvious, but I think you're going to see a very intentional effort from the Red Bulls to really get off on the right foot because of the way they started off. I mean, they finished the season last year on such a good positive note.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the thrill of the chase only has so much allure, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you want to be towards the top of a table. You want to be in firm position to get a good playoff seeding. And that's just what every single team wants. And the Red Bulls obviously had the talent to get to the playoffs. So that means they had the talent to be in a comfortable position come the end of the regular season. Did they? No, because they had such a tough start to the season. But Joey, yes. When we were talking with players and coaches, during that media day, that was echoed throughout everybody. And we talked with Sean Nealis. I was able to talk to Sean Nealis, and he said, quote, "We want to start off on a better foot this year. Get off to a good start is the message that everyone is feeling." I think everybody is in unison there. No matter the shift in leadership, both on the field and with coaching, that is the goal for everybody. And that is going to be very, very key in these first couple of games. February 25th, Sunday, 5 p.m., the Red Bulls will be taking on Nashville. That's followed up on Saturday, March 2nd, the next week, Houston Dynamo, and then the following week on March 9th, FC Dallas. Those are the first three games the Red Bulls will be playing in the regular season this year. Lauren, let's go to you. How can the Red Bulls start off on the right foot against Nashville?
Oh, it's a pretty loaded question, if I'm being honest. But, you know, you just got to focus in on the collective team unit, and the leadership, of course, is key. You know, you have your new captain, which is very, very exciting to have. However, more often than not, we see it with many teams in sports. You'll see all the hype just because someone new has been brought in, and then it kind of falls flat. Not all the way, but there's always a little bit of like maybe there is more work to be done. So I think even if the team starts off with not the best results, just as long as they're not kind of at rock bottom necessarily, they can get some momentum. I think it's going to be a very fluctuating season. You got to build with this entire new roster and staff. So I think you can't go into it with like the highest of hopes because it's unrealistic to kind of have that mindset. You know, it's going to be a process. It's going to be an evolution, quote unquote. Like, it's just going to be fluctuating times. And yeah, that's where I see with this team going.
Yeah, Lauren, bringing in the realism there.
No, I had to.
not sugarcoat it. I love the theater of football and the theater of soccer.
So many theatrics.
And I love putting my hazy-eyed glasses on with the pink tint and just looking at it as if it is theater. And so it is hard. You are bringing in the harsh reality that this Red Bulls team, year after year, has horrible starts. Mm-hmm. And yet, year after year, 14 years running now, they have made the playoffs. So something has to change, and hopefully it's not that playoff streak. But you also hope it's also not going to be starting off again on the wrong foot.
Right.
So you look at Nashville, and then you look at FC Dallas, two out of your first three games. Both have two huge players, huge stars. Hany Mukhtar for Nashville is an absolute beast. I mean, he just takes the league by storm. He, I feel like, almost personally took that Nashville team, him and a few other players, through that playoff spot. They were always hanging around with Atlanta and New England and those in that area for the playoffs. And it was not surprising when they made it. And, I mean, I think they're a little mad at the Red Bulls about how they made it into the playoffs.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a bit of a rivalry brewing there, the Yellows versus the Reds. But I think you're going to see it. It's going to be tough on the road. Nashville's a good home team. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be a great game. And then you look at FC Dallas. You think of players like Jesus Ferreira, the U.S. men's international player, who's just been off to a great start, really improving everywhere on and off the field, trying to get in more games with the national team. And I think he's always a player that's on Greg Berhalter's mind, the coach of the men's national team. And I think that's someone you always got to be aware of, because he always knows he's trying to prove himself to get in that national squad.
I could say the same thing for Walker Zimmerman on Nashville. You know, there's been a little bit of question about the defensive choices by Greg Berhalter. But I think Zimmerman definitely poses as a threat on this Nashville team. And once he starts getting back those minutes and starts getting back fully into the lineup again, I think that that's going to prove as another tough cookie to crack, or whatever. You know what metaphor I'm trying to say. It's going to be tough, but I think it's possible to break past that.
Yeah, and talking about tough cookies, I mean, all three of these teams were playoff teams last year. Houston Dynamo being fourth in the Western Conference, FC Dallas seventh, and then Nashville spot above you at seventh. So these are going to be quality teams, and yes, the offseason changes teams and morphs them. People leave, people come in. But at the end of the day, these are going to be really quality football clubs that you're going to have to take down to start the season off strong. And of course, I remember we were talking about it with players, and Sean Neils especially. They don't want to go in and dominate. That's not the mindset, and that's not realistic. You need to go in and you need to get the win. You need to do your job, and you need to do the best of your abilities to go and put yourself in a good position. And so you can't go in the mindset like, oh, we need to get off to a fast start, so we're going to push stuff, and we're going to start pushing. No. They want to go in, need to get a win, and they need to do it together. And that's exactly what they're going to have to do against Nashville coming in. And it's going to be a fun start to the season. Something feels different about this Red Bulls team, and I really think we're going to see it on the pitch come Sunday. But let's talk about players now. We've talked about the team as a whole. We've talked about the mindset they all have. Let's talk key players. Joey, let's start with you. Who are your players to watch for this season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's Emil Forsberg. You got to watch for him. Of course, there's Dante Van Zier, first season fully with the team. I always want to talk about the more lesser celebrated players. Of course, if you listen to any episode of Bulls on Parade before, you know I'm going to talk about my boy Daniel Edelman, who holds it down in the back. He's just 20 years old still. Just got off a stint with the youth men's national team. Went to Argentina for them in the Youth National World Cup. Came back, I believe started 22 games of the season. Appeared in 23, but he only missed some because of injury and because of international duty and because of workload. And I think he's another player that is going to be underrated again all throughout this season. I mean, he does such an important job. He said it himself that he is the last line before the defense, that he is that last cloak where he wants to hold back and wants to hold more, and so that nobody gets by him, so that the defense has to do less and less work.
Going off of that, you're talking about the defense, I hear you. A player that I think caught my attention even as a U.S. men's national team player is John Tolkien. I know he's from Chatham, New Jersey, which is not too far away from where I grew up, so that's kind of cool. But he's only 21 years old, and he made an extreme impact on this team. And I know he got a call up for the United States men's national team roster this past January. I think he's going to be a big asset with the distribution and the defensive side behind this team. You know, I'm always a big fan of the youth getting lots of minutes. You could argue that for the women's national team. But I think he's going to come in there and make a name for himself even more and solidify the back line for the Red Bulls.
Absolutely. JMI, he's really become a fan favorite of the Red Bulls, and it's going to be cool to see him another season wearing the red. And one last player I want to talk about to highlight. Well, actually, there's two. I want to quickly talk about the goalie, Carlos Coronel, who has done an amazing job and actually has switched nationalities for which national team he's going to represent.
Really?
So originally Brazilian, switched to Peruvian, I believe.
Oh, I saw that.
And can you double-check that, please?
I think it's Peruvian.
Carlos Coronel.
Yeah.
Yeah, so initially Brazilian national team player, now going to play for Peru, a team where he will actually be able to get a chance to get some minutes in the national team. And I think it's going to be cool to see him play with more confidence. I saw him Paraguay.
Paraguay national
That's what
team.
I thought.
So
yeah.
close. So
Paraguay.
Close.
So he and Miguel Almiron will be chopping it up at the Paraguay camp. Former Atlanta United player who's now on Newcastle. But I think it'll be cool to see him get some international team minutes. And I think it'll be he's playing with more and more confidence. I think you saw it towards the end of the season as well, especially in the playoffs. He came up with some huge saves. And so he's one player that I really want to focus on that I think everybody's going to be focusing on because that's a very important position. But he's really locked in that position. No one's questioning whether or not he's starting or not. It's going to be Coronel. That's his goal. And one last player I want to talk about is Peter Stroud, who we had a lovely chance to talk to in length at Media Day, the Duke graduate. Really had a very insightful thing to say last year, because he's not a guy that starts often or ever really. He's not a player that gets too many chances, but he said last year he showed glimpses, and this year he wants to show consistency.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very mature thing as a 21-year-old to go into the new season saying. And also in preseason, he's been utilized in different positions than he usually has. Usually he's more of a holding defensive midfielder, and he's been actually going more up the field and more out wide as well in this preseason. The coach using him in different ways, in different utilizations. He said, you know, whatever gets me on the field. He has no complaints about wherever he's playing. He said whatever makes his arsenal stronger that can get him on the field more, I think you're going to see more action from Stroud as the season goes on, because he got into a few games last year and then kind of fell out of favor from Troy Lesson. But I think really you're going to see him and a lot of younger guys go out through, because this is a compact schedule. Mm-hmm. The MLS is playing in a lot of competitions. There's still U.S. Open Cup drama. There's a lot going on with the competition where all the North American teams are in it. It's just really a lot of games. I mean, you know, you think it's only a 34-game season, but there's so much more to it than that because of all the other competitions. And I think you're going to see games where Stroud's going to be relied on heavily. You're going to see more guys off the bench. And that's why I think it's so important that no MLS team has great depth. It's just impossible with the way the rosters are set up. So that's why it's so important for these homegrown guys like Stroud, like Edelman, to be stepping up into these positions.
Absolutely. Great picks by both of you guys. And Coronel, amazing pick. I mean, 9 clean sheets last year, kept this team in a lot of games. And, I mean, he was the reason that the Red Bulls were able to squeeze out a couple of draws, squeeze out a couple of wins. And in that Cincinnati game, I mean, going into shootouts, he was able to – or shootout, penalty kick, pardon me.
in the
penalty
Same
kick,
thing.
He was able to keep them in that one. So he's going to be really key. 3-year starter now for the Red Bulls, going on 4. We'll see how he does. And with the youth as well coming up, it's important to have homegrown prospects come in and take over this ball club. And so it's going to be interesting. One final thing before we let you guys go. Let's talk about best case scenario, worst case scenario. And I want you to tell me what that looks like for the Red Bulls. Joey, let's start with you. What's your best case scenario? What's the best possible ceiling that this Red Bulls team can hit, in your opinion? And what do you think is the lowest? What's the ceiling? What's the ground floor?
Yeah, I mean, I think what this team can do at its best, at its finest, with the tools that it has, I think is like a fourth or fifth place finish. I don't think you're expecting to win the Supporters' Shield. I don't think you're expecting to clean sweep this entire league, especially after the season last year. New coach, new system, new players. But I think you're going to see a surprisingly impressive squad go out onto that field. And so I think you're going to see consistency with you're not going to be down in the depths of 14th. You're not going to be in 13th all throughout the season. And that's actually my worst case scenario, is that you do get off to a bad start again and that you're chasing the league again year after year. You don't want to be chasing. You want to be ahead in the race. And I think that this Red Bull team and the Red Bull fans know and expect a chase a lot of the times out of this squad. But I think that's fun and all. But you really want that safety and security of being known as a playoff team, of always being above the line. And I think that this team can do it. I think with the schedule and with who they're playing and all that, you take it all into account. You have to play everybody. It doesn't matter. I think they can do it. I think they could be a solid fourth or fifth place finish team as this gets out and have a strong playoff performance.
You know, when I first got into Red Bulls, it was around like 2017, 2018. And around that point, 2018, Red Bulls finished first in the Eastern Conference, which was...
Good time to be a fan.
Wow. Yeah, you know. But then from 2019, probably until around like 2022, you know, you saw them hovering around that 6th, 5th, 4th, 7th at some points placement. Again, that's still scrapped in for playoffs. But I think, as you mentioned perfectly, the worst case scenario is getting down early, and it's like it's so much pressure and so much weight on top of already such a competitive conference to make up the ground that you lost. So I think that honestly would be worst case scenario, is having what you had last year, because, again, we keep saying this, you have so many new players, so many new staff. Again, it's not going to be immediate, but you want it to come in due time. And best case scenario, you know, I see that exactly, a third place, fourth place finish, you know, it's feasible. It's possible that this team can work itself into that position and get the respect and the recognition. I'm not saying we can go back to 2018, like in a matter of like in one season, but it's a process. And I think fourth place, third place, that could definitely be feasible in this coming season.
A lot of high hopes and a lot of nerves and jitters still in the fans of Red, or in the blood of Red Bulls fans. This is a team that's made the playoffs 24 of their 28 seasons in the league, going for a 25th season. We will see what they can do here in the upcoming MLS season. From Spencer Gonzalez, from Lauren Reese, from Joey Nardone, this has been another edition of Bulls on Parade. Join us next time for more Red Bulls content.